Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
You guys, I have an insane piece of news for you, which is that this is our 100th episode of Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast. I can't believe we've already done 100 episodes where we have talked about everything from fuckboys to pubic hair to feminism to empowering you all to be the badasses you are and have the confidence to ask for raises at work, more money, even an episode about quitting your jobs in there. We really have talked about it all. Sadly, this is also our final episode. You guys, I got a new job, which means it's also time for Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast to move on as well. So when I was brainstorming how I could give this podcast one final goodbye, I realized so many of our listeners ask questions about me and the inner workings of the Happy Hour podcast. So this would be the perfect time to turn the tables on the interviewer for a change. So who better to co-host this final episode of Happy Hour with me than my unofficial co-host and very official senior sex and relationships editor at Cosmopolitan.com, Allie Drucker. Hi, Allie.
For the very last time. Hi, Alisa.
Hi. How many times have we done this together? A million?
A million.
Not enough. Isn't it? I feel like it's actually so appropriate that after 100 episodes of this show, I'm just like going out on a total narcissistic high note and like forcing you to interview me.
I love it. It's like, what's the last episode about, Alisa? Me.
Of course it is. So that being said, I'm Alisa Benson. This is Cosmopolitan.com's final Happy Hour podcast. And today, Allie Drucker is going to interview me.
I know.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. I want to start by saying what an honor it is that you wanted me to take this on. I have loved every second of every podcast we've recorded. It feels like such an amazing opportunity to connect with all of our fans in a really intimate way. And the fact that you have invited me so many times to come enjoy this with you is just very moving, and I'm really sad this won't be part of my routine anymore.
I know. Should you just start your own podcast? Like, all the best episodes were you doing like sex stuff. So like maybe that should
questions.
Actually, I like bequeath it to you.
People will just call in with sex questions right. And I'll answer them to the best of my ability.
Right. Ooh. Sex talk with Allie. I love it.
But we are going to send you out on a high note. Some people out there might not know this about Alisa because she is so youthful and in touch with everything going on right now, but she has been with Hearst for 11 years,
yeah,
which is
I'm old
no
AF.
Small feat. You are not old AF, but you do have a long, very, very, you know, prosaic history with the brand.
A long, illustrious career.
I love
yes,
it.
At and Hearst Magazines, which is the parent company of Cosmo and 17, where some of you guys might know I also do some time.
Oh, yes.
But
I want to know the origin story. How did you get to your very first role at the company and what was it? And
oh
how did you
God.
Work your way up to where you are now?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's boring. Like I had like since I'm so old, I graduated way back in 2006 from college, which like is probably when some of you listening were born. So back in that time, I feel like people got jobs in the really like traditional way, which is like having internships and like working your way up. So like that was kind of my story.
Internships still matter.
Yeah, they definitely still matter. But I also feel like it's like, you know, the kids today with their blogs and their Instagram handles. And I was like, I had an internship. But yeah, so I always grew up being like obsessed with magazines and knowing that I wanted to like do this. And yeah, so I guess I was really focused on that. Like all through college, I did a bunch of writing things. I actually like had a terrible I was like a radio show host in college. Which I'm actually just remembering
everything
now.
Everything makes sense now.
It was like an early precursor
from
to the
radio show to
yeah,
podcast.
Exactly. That was only for like one semester and I was like terrible at it. And yeah, also don't know anything about music. So what was I doing with my life? But Yeah, so lots of internships and then like ended up at Hearst. I remember, you'll appreciate this, senior sex and relationships editor, but in my interview for my first full-time job, which started at 17 Magazine, I remember them asking like what I wanted to do, what beats I was most interested in, and I was just like, I want to write about boys. So I did like the love and relationship section for teenagers, which was actually had nothing to do with sex and was all about, you know, flirting.
Flirting and crushes.
Yeah, so crushes, important. Kisses, exactly.
So important.
So yeah, that's how I got started.
That's so fun. So,
like, what's your next question for
what's
me?
What's my next question
for
you?
This is so fun.
So clearly, like, working for a magazine, like 17 Cosmo, was a dream for you growing up.
Yes.
I want to know, what was a moment when you were here, you were working for the company, you were either at 17 or Cosmo, and you had a moment where you're like, oh my God, I've made it. Like, look around, look what just happened to me. I have arrived. I'm actually like having one of those fabulous media jobs I always dreamed about.
Okay, one thing, I feel like interestingly, tell me if you agree with this. Interestingly, when I have asked successful women that question, I feel like they usually say like, I haven't had that, like the line keeps moving.
Yes,
but that's not my answer. I'm like, I have had that moment. I can tell you specifically when. Okay, so two things. One is that a few years ago, Cosmopolitan took over Times Square on New Year's Eve. We partnered with CoverGirl and turned Times Square into like a sea of pink. Like literally, if you watch the like New Year's Eve show, I think this was literally just like 2 years ago. It was the year that Taylor Swift did like sang Welcome to New York at midnight or whatever.
Of course.
So if you watch that, you saw everyone wearing their like pink Cosmo hats on TV or whatever. But so I got to be in Times Square at midnight, like tweeting and doing the social media things, because my background, in addition to doing the podcast, I oversee social media stuff for Cosmo. So that was just like the most unreal experience in the whole world. I always felt like doing a New Year's Eve in Times Square, which I guess is like such a touristy cliche, but that was like really on my bucket list. So that was very, very cool. I mean, just like being surrounded by all of these people at midnight when the ball dropped and the confetti exploded, and just feeling like I have this job that is more exciting than I ever, ever, ever imagined my like professional life could be. And it has brought me to like the center of the universe at like the coolest moment in time. So
that's
that was one
so
moment.
Cool.
It was really cool. And then the other thing that weirdly just sticks out to me was that I remember there was this like one fancy important work lunch I was going to. And you know how it's a thing at Hearst, our company, to take the Hearst elevator selfie?
Yes.
I was going to this fancy meeting and I had like a blowout, which I like never do because I'm like lazy, whatever. But I had blown out my hair. I was wearing my like professional dress. I was wearing this like fabulous fur coat that I totally like stole from my roommate who like inherited it from her grandma, and I took a Hearst elevator selfie and posted it on Instagram. This was several years ago now, but I remember being like, oh, this is like my fancy magazine editor costume, but yeah, like also my life,
but for real.
Yeah, so that was like another just like dumb thing.
I have never taken one of those selfies. I always feel like I don't look chic enough.
No, but like that is the magic of the Hearst elevator selfie, is that it like chicifies you. It's okay. An instant chicifier. You have to do it.
I've got to do it.
Tomorrow.
I'm so nervous. Like, how do you do it so that nobody else is riding it with you?
I know. That is kind of tricky. It's like you have to go to the tower in like an off hour. Like, don't do it during the like morning and evening rush hour in the elevator. But yeah.
I want to share one of my arrive moments. Yes. Because a good co-host knows when to make it about them too.
Yes. As I've done many times over here.
So I love how collaborative everything is at Cosmo. And even though like I have nothing to do with like making our videos, I sometimes get to like collaborate. And I remember like we do a series that's like hot shirtless guys do like X thing, like vacuum, like make you dinner, bake you cookies. And it's just like a feast for the eyes and so lovely. And I remember like it was one of my concepts that I'd come up with, and I was standing over the editor's shoulder and they were like asking for feedback, and I was like, can you crop a little tighter on his abs? And like, I feel like we're about to see a little bit of pubic hair, so if you could just like zoom up a little bit. And like, that's right. And I'm like, oh my God, I am like turning the male gaze on its side. I am helping to objectify men in such a fun way and like show this new generation of women to our readers. Like, this is it. I've arrived. This is like part of my job.
That is amazing. That's a way better story than my story, which was literally about taking
a
selfie.
It's so well, no, your Times Square moment.
Yeah,
that was
a good
really
one.
Meaningful and really lovely, because I would have just been complaining that I had to work.
No, it was you wouldn't have been complaining. It was really cool. But yeah, it was, I guess, working on New Year's Eve. Whatever. I had nothing better to do.
Okay, switching gears to the podcast, what goes into choosing the episode topics?
Yes. I feel like that's one of the most fun parts. I feel like there's even now, like, still a million bazillion episodes that I wish we could have done. But I have to give a shout out to Kylie Hodges, who has been my faithful producer. Actually, I was going to say from the very beginning, although really only the past, like, year or so. But she is awesome and helps me put together every episode. I literally couldn't do it without her. So she comes up with a lot of really great show ideas. We brainstorm with the staff. Allie, you've, like, submitted a million bazillion ideas, and we pull so much from your section since you write about all the fun stuff. But also, like, I feel like I cheesily always say this at the end of every episode, that I love hearing from people about what they want the show to be about. But, like, I really love that. Actually, I want to give a shout out to somebody that DM'd me on Instagram just the other day and said that we should do an episode about women who date much older guys. And she was like, I'm in my 20s and my boyfriend is like 57 or something.
Get it, girl.
And I was also like, I'll call you if we ever do that. But now we'll never do that, so I'll never call you. But, you know, I thought that was a really great idea. And so from everywhere.
I feel like we're definitely, like, in a golden age of podcasting.
Yes.
And I want to know what you love about, like, the podcasting medium that you think it can accomplish that other forms of journalism maybe can't.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I've really noticed over the, like, two-ish years that we've been doing this is how much people love to come on the show. Like, and I mean, generally, like, when we work at a place like Cosmo, people always, like, are willing to be interviewed and they want to talk to Cosmo. So that's always a cool thing about working at a brand like this one. But the podcast in particular, I think there's something, like, people sharing their stories, babbling on narcissistically about themselves, as I'm doing now, that people really like. So I like doing episodes and knowing that, like, when, like, you come on to co-host or, like, when we have someone call in, I like knowing that they'll leave being like, that was fun. So that's been something cool about it. I think it just has a real, like, slumber party vibe to it.
It, like, connects you with your sources and with the audience in a way that, like, you might not always feel.
Yeah. And I know that's, like, yeah, I don't know. And I just, like, feel like I can really, like, be myself.
I love
my true
that.
Self.
Your true self.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of your true self.
Yes.
I would like to know what your all-time favorite moment on the podcast has been, although there's been a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with my favorite of yours,
which
was a joint experience.
Yes.
Was when we were doing our Sexopedia
yes.
episode, and, like, not everybody might know this, but, like, everything fell apart that episode. Like, all of our sources, like, fell through, and we decided, like, wait, this would be so much fun if we just, like, use Sexopedia as, like, trivia and called random people from our phones, like,
yes.
people on Facebook. And Elisa, you called somebody up and, like, had them on the air, a guy who you'd, like, known from college.
Yeah, I went to college. Right?
And you asked him out on a date live on the air. I want to know how that all shook out.
I think that was also my favorite moment on the show.
Okay.
Like, it's funny talking about it with you since you were here in the room when it happened, but I feel like there was such crazy adrenaline. Like, I don't know if people at home thought that was, like, good TV or whatever, but I feel like
my
heart is beating just thinking about it. Yeah, so this guy I went to college with, I asked him out on the show and he was like, yeah. And so I texted him immediately after and I was like, that was, like, a for real whatever. Like, let's get a drink, blah, blah, blah. It, long story short, never ended up happening. Although I still text with him every now and then. But I was kind of actually at the time, like, sort of, first of all, it was, like, right before the holidays. So I feel like he was out of town.
Oh, that's
I was out
the
of
worst time.
Yeah. And then I was kind of also seeing someone else and things got a little, like, more serious with that person, which also, long story short, eventually blew up in my face as well. So basically the point is, like, my love life is still a disaster, but that was a really exciting moment, even if it didn't lead to marriage yet. It's still good.
One day.
It's
you really
good.
Never know.
Exactly.
Well, that kind of reminds me, like, we really let it all hang out here on
yes.
the podcast, especially episodes with which I'm co-hosting.
Yes.
Have you ever had, like, a friend or a family member, like, say, oh, I follow you on the podcast, and you're like, oh my god, I wish you didn't, or,
I
like,
know.
Had a date bring it up or anything like that?
I, like, defo don't really want my parents to listen to it. Fortunately, every time I see them, they're sort of like, can you tell me how to get the podcast again on my phone? I'm like, I don't even know how to like, you already have a podcast app on your phone. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's there. What more do you want from me? But they might also be intentionally just, like, not listening to it because they respect my privacy. But I have had occasionally guys I've dated have listened to it, which is kind of like a weird experience. Also, it's happened a few times where guys I've met on like dating apps have told me they've listened to it before we've even met in person, which felt like really weird.
That's kind of a stalkery vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that you can like endearingly confess like three dates in.
Right.
Be like, I wanted to like get to know you more before we met because I was nervous, so I listened to the podcast.
Right.
You don't like drop that before the first date.
Yeah. And like, I guess the thing about it is like, of course, like I stalk everyone that I meet online before I go on a date with them. So like, I don't think there's anything weird about admitting that in this point in time.
Right.
But I'm just like, listening to a podcast is like a real time commitment.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I mean. Like, I'm sure I'm like acting like I have like I'm cool enough to have stalkers, which is like that's not the case, but like I don't know, and probably they only listen for like 30 seconds and then are like, I don't want to listen to a whole episode about Kylie Jenner or whatever.
What, you don't?
Right. Although, Ali, you know, any of these like guys in my life that have listened to episodes are obviously listening to the ones that you've co-hosted with me.
Well, they
you know,
damn well better.
Exactly. You know, they're like, the cheating episode,
that,
you know,
like facial.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Click. It's not like they're clicking on the ones about like how to get a raise at work.
Although everybody else should.
Right. Exactly. Everyone else should. Exactly.
Oh, sad but true. Have you ever had a moment on the podcast interviewing somebody where, well, first, actually, I want to know who was like your favorite interview of all time?
I can tell you right off the bat, it was definitely Rachel Platten, mm-hmm. Who's like the fight song girl. She was just like so great. I like super loved her. She was like such a sweetheart. I'm kind of misremembering this detail, but I think someone in her family had like, maybe her grandma had like died a few days before she was like scheduled to do the interview. Aww. But she like still wanted to do it and like ended up opening up about it. And she was just like so lovely. And this was like over the phone. But I was sort of like, Rach, girl, should we like co-host a show together? Like, I just felt like we really like vibed. So that was really cool. And then I also, Ali, we've done so many shows together. I obviously love having you on, but like we've talked to some super cool people and I feel like grateful for like, you know, a lot of the like polyamorous couples we've talked to who have been like so willing, the fetishists that we've talked to, you know, so many of the people who have been so willing to say like, yes, I will like talk about something that might be considered like taboo in larger society. And like, I will come on and be honest with it. And like, I've loved a lot of those conversations that we've had.
Yeah, we've had some really, really gracious people come on the show and just like share so much of themselves, which has like made the podcast so nice to listen to.
Yeah. Do you have a fave app we've done?
Oh my gosh. I love it anytime we talk to Dr. Jess O'Reilly.
Yeah.
She is fabulous.
Love her.
I've always been partial to the episodes where we talk about like the bigger packages my team's working on, like our pubic hair episode and our STI episode, because like that's the culmination of so much work for us. And I'm always like really happy to like show it off and have another chance to talk about it.
Yeah. And it's also like, again, with the podcast being the best thing ever, it's like frosting on the cake. It's like your team works for months to put together these packages. And then it's so fun to have a moment of like,
it's like very gratifying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wait, there was another thing that you just reminded me of. Oh, the episode we did where we talked to Jill, who writes all the sex positions.
Oh my God, yes. How Cosmo Sex Positions Get Made.
Yes.
Go download that one if you're looking for like a nostalgic retrospective of the Cosmo Happy Hour podcast.
Exactly. Is there going to be like a sudden surge in downloads?
There
God,
be.
I can hope. But yeah, that was really fun too.
That was great.
So many great memories.
Have you ever had a moment where like you hang up the phone, the interview is done, you're like, ugh, why didn't I ask that one question?
Oh my God, all the time. Like, and also I feel like one thing that's always been really hard is like, I don't know, I'm like an interrupter, as you have to be, but I feel like to be a really good interviewer, you have to be sort of good at like politely cutting people off.
Yeah.
So there are definitely times where I'm like, probably like this interview right now, where I'm going on and on and on, where I'm like, that was like, this person was so great, but I sort of wish this interview had been 5 minutes long instead of 12 minutes long. Because I know it's like hard to like commit to like, you know, we all have ADD. It's hard. So there have been sometimes I was like, I wish I would have like gotten to those like juicy questions at the end sooner, or that I would have asked about like X, Y, and Z things.
Yeah.
But you know, that's any interview. I hope I've gotten better at it over the years.
Well, what would you say podcasting, what the greatest like lesson hosting a podcast has taught you about like communicating in journalism and like in our field?
I feel like the biggest thing that I've really taken away from it has been how people that you're interviewing match the energy that you bring. So I have felt sometimes like, if it's a serious interview and I start off in serious mode, then it's like the entire conversation ends up being like Downer McDownerson. And so I feel like something I've learned is that even when you're talking to people about really serious topics, like to try to keep it light and funny and like pop in with a joke, that has been like an important thing that I've learned. Because if you bring that energy, people will sort of match it. If you go into like super serious mode, it's deadly.
And that's like amazing life advice too, right? Yeah. Like I feel like that's very applicable to like relationships and friendships.
Yeah.
Like people are only going to give you back what you're giving them to begin with.
Oh my gosh. I love that I was like, again, saying a narcissistic thing about my own interviewing skills and you made it sound really like deep.
Never is Sally. Deep. You've had a lot of time to like internalize these things. And I think they're very much a part of these experiences are very much part of your personality, whether you can like quickly recall that or not.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's made a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. You are great to talk to.
Oh, thank you. This show has like, and I don't know, I was sort of like, why even do this like narcissistic goodbye episode? But this show has really been like, it's been like my baby. And like, I can't believe we've done 100 episodes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I still feel like we just sort of like just started. But like, really, this is, and like, also, I have no idea what I'm doing and just like, I'm like a terrible disaster all the time who's like always unprepared and always like, whatever. Anyway, not the point. The point is that even despite all the craziness, this has just been like a really, like a highlight of my professional career. I've loved doing it. I love that people listen to it. There is like nothing that has made me feel like more, I don't know, now I'm getting like emosh, but like the few times, I don't want to make it sound like I'm Beyonce and this happens all the time, but the few times people have come up to me and or like at Cosmo events and said that they like love listening to it or it's made them feel better or less alone or like they listen to it when they're driving and it makes their commute go by so much faster. Like that just like means everything to me.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. And I think that just by the very fact that like we're not Beyonce and it doesn't happen to us all the time,
right,
makes it mean more in a way.
Yeah.
Like I will never forget when I was covering one of Cosmo's events with you, Fun Fearless Money.
Yes.
And I was like on the floor, like interviewing Ashley Graham, like running around, like talking to all these like crazy, like the CEO of Spanx, like Sarah Blakely, like and getting their insights and stuff. And I was like on deadline. So I was like sitting in the bathroom with my computer, like blogging like on the floor, like outside the
stalls. Is like such a wonderful insight into like life as an editor.
Oh, I know, this is so real. And like this woman in line who was like a young woman, she was like a Columbia like journalism grad student, and she was like there for the event like with her friends, and she was like, oh my god, like I know you, I recognize you, like I've seen your stories on Snapchat, like you wrote that story about getting lip injections, and like I like that was so great, and like it made me like so much more aware of like what I wanted to do, and it was so cool, like oh my god, like you're so famous. And I like literally like was so taken aback. I was like, oh my god, no, the famous people are out there, they're not sitting on the floor of a bathroom blogging. And just like had this moment of like, wow, like you really do have an impact on people for like the smallest things you do that help them like live a better life in the tiniest way, whether it's making their commute faster or like what to know before like pumping Jupiter into your lips.
Right. No, it's so true. And like you are famous. I mean, it's like we, the devoted Cosmo girls that read your section every single day, like that's, it's a big responsibility.
As is this fabulous podcast and all of the other major endeavors that you've gotten off the ground in your many roles and many capacities. What do you think is something, the biggest thing you've learned in all your years at Cosmo?
Well, I have a boring one that I've maybe even said on the show before, but like definitely like figure out, I still haven't figured out how to do this. Figure out like how to do your expenses, like learn your money stuff. I'm so bad at all of that. And it's like so, so, so bad. And it's just like the only person that suffers is myself. So I feel like that is like a lame, boring thing I've learned. I don't know. I think being a good person matters. Being like a good human. You know, I've been at Hearst for 11 years, which is like kind of a long time. And I would like to think that at least some people there like me.
But I can attest. Yeah. People do like Elisa.
People like me. Allie likes me.
Time for a fact check. It is true.
Allie, who I forced to come onto the show and interview me. Allie likes me. But no, I think, I don't know, like sometimes, you know, in all this like emphasis, especially that women have like to get ahead and negotiate and like blah, 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 blah. Like, I would never want the message to get lost that like being nice matters.
Yeah. Like, getting ahead means absolutely nothing if you don't like the person that it takes to get there.
Yeah. And I've definitely had moments in my own career where I've been like a crazy beast to everyone around me, or like snapped at my underlings, or like been a terrible person. And like, I so deeply regret that. And like, you know, like sending a bitchy email, like that doesn't, you never feel good about that.
Right.
In the long run. And you don't want that to be like your legacy. So I feel like I have learned how important, in whatever I like do, how important that is to me.
And if you would like your loyal readers and listeners to take one thing away from this podcast, what would it be?
I think, I feel like one thing I guess I'm really proud of that we've done on the show is that I think we have talked about really serious stuff, and we've talked about the dumbest things in the world. And I feel like, I guess that's really just the mission of Cosmo in general, is that we want to be a space where it's okay to talk about lip injections, but also okay to talk about feminism and talk about crazy bosses and talk about negotiating for more money and advocating for yourself. Like, I want to be a space where it feels okay to do all of those things. And also be a person who says like all the time and sounds like a valley girl, as I do, and can still be like a professional human.
And owns it.
Yes, and owns it. That's important to me too.
I love it. Speak however you want and just own it.
Yes, exactly. That was one of the like first comments. I mean, there like aren't actually really that many comments on the show on iTunes. Not that I check them all the time or anything, of course. But one of the first comments was basically, on the show, it was like, this girl sounds so stupid, which is like something I've heard again and again throughout my life. And so we actually did an episode about like speech patterns and sort of the sexism in saying that stereotypically feminine speech patterns mean that somebody is unqualified, yeah, or, you know, that you need to change the way you sound to get ahead. So
yeah, fuck that. Ira Glass has vocal fry and nobody's like telling him that he's not professional.
Exactly. Exactly.
What up, all my This American Life listeners?
Right. So yeah, I'd like to think I'm helping to make the world a better place, one vocal fry at a time. Let that be my legacy.
I feel like, how could we possibly end it on a better note than that?
Exactly. Exactly. That should have been the tagline for the show all along.
Well, Alisa, on behalf of everyone at Cosmopolitan.com and all of the listeners of the Cosmo Happy Hour podcast, I want to say thank you for bringing this into our lives every week, a safe space to say like as much as you want and talk about sex and career and money and blowjobs and feel smart and empowered doing so. Thank you.
Allie, thank you so much, not only for letting me force you to interview me just now for the past 20 minutes, but also really you have been like the co-host with the most from the very beginning to the very end, and like the show wouldn't have existed without you, and you're everybody's favorite co-host. So thank you so much. I also want to shout out a few more thank yous. Thank you to CBS Radio for all your fantastic engineering skills, especially Patrick Antonetti, who's right in the room and gets to hear us talking about so many girl things week after week. He's smiling. He secretly likes it. Brian Corson and Seth Neiman from CBS Radio, who have nurtured this show from the very beginning and helped bring it to life every week. Thank you again to Kylie Hodges, my fabulous producer, who I shouted out earlier on the show. Kylie, I literally could not have done this without you, and you know better than anyone that I like am so flaky about responding to texts. I basically ignore emails for like at least 24 hours, and I show up almost 10 minutes late to every single recording session of this podcast. So thank you for dealing with it and still making it so wonderful. I couldn't love you more. And thank you to all my co-hosts, Allie, especially you, for all of your service to the podcast, and also to so many of my other Cosmo coworkers and friends, Emma Barker, Eliza Thompson, Patty Greco, Laura Brownstein, Tess Komen, Kathleen Kemphausen, Caitlin Scott, and everyone else in the Hearst family, and also especially to Amy O'Dell, my boss, who called me up one day at 8 a.m, weirdly, and was like, do you want to host Cosmo's podcast? We're recording the first episode tomorrow. Amy, you would change my life all the time. So thank you for that. And finally, thank you to everybody listening for making Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour 100 episodes of fun and empowerment, and for all the feedback and but really just mostly for listening. I love you guys. I'll miss you. This isn't goodbye. It's just good night or something. You can always find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Elise Benson. And I will miss you guys so much. Allie, do you want to shout out your handle one more time?
Yeah, you can get me on Instagram and Twitter at Allie, A-L-I. _ Drucker, D-R-U-C-K-E-R.
And as I always say, you guys know that Allie runs the Sex and Relationships vertical on cosmopolitan.com, but her team just does amazing, amazing work every single day. So read everything that they do, everything that they publish. And I usually end every episode by saying to like and rate and do all the things you do with podcasts, but I guess now I don't care if you do that. delete this from your phone. I don't know. But on that note, bye. No, but really, just thank you guys all again. I love you all so much. To many happy hours in your future, not on this podcast, but IRL, which is even more fun.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.